Always the consummate professional. Now, here is me. In honor of our very special guest today, Senator Tammy Baldwin, ladies and gentlemen. This week, we will feature all the political news that isn't. So anything else, you don't need to know. What do you know?
Live from the Monona Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, we welcome U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says the Packers-Seahawks game permanently deflated his football, it's Michael Feldman.
Don't mention it, though. Let's not go there. Oh, yeah. I had forgotten all about it till you said that. All right. Deflategate. That was nothing compared to that game. I don't want to talk about it, though. Okay. So all the political news that isn't, and leading the course is the State of the Disunion speech. You know, it's a bad sign when the only applause the president gets is for not running again. Although one of them both was a good laugh line. I can't use that too often. Yeah, it could have been worse. President Obama skipped over all the golf metaphors he intended to use in his speech. That was a mistake to begin with. You know, dog leg to the right. You know, political dog leg to the right. That's the only metaphor I know that's golf related. The rich paying taxes, that was a good laugh line. Of course, the Republican response blamed Deflategate on Obama. So, usual thing. Not even his sport, really. Another political news that isn't, Hillary has double-digit leads over everybody else for 2016, or it may just be that double vision from that terrible fall she took. I think as long as she stays out of those black frames, it's hers to lose, you know. Which she proves she can do, actually, too, so that's another thing to think about. Joe Biden is making noises like Joe Biden. Joe Biden like noises. Tough running against a woman who just put a powdered wig on her is a ringer for George Washington. I mean it. Try it sometime at home. Got some time. Cut out George Washington's wig, put it on Hillary Clinton. Not when she's wearing the frames. That kills everything. You know, and Joe's got the plugs and a nice set of choppers, but may not be enough, is what I'm saying. Okay, fine. How are you, John, anyway? Pretty good? Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, people write off Joe Biden, but George W. proved that a gaffe-a-minute guy can be president of the United States of America. And he is a gaffe a minute. The Republican rogues gallery is filling right up. They will be using the Tales from the Crypt set for the debates. missing in action, Herman Cain, the lovable rogue. Kind of miss him. He was always fun. Michelle Bachmann, not so much. Rick Sanatorium. Romney. Big surprise, Romney doesn't get it. He's back. But, you know, so far not a squeak out of Paulie Ryan. You know, I was surprised. You know, he was supposed to be a candidate, I thought. Not a squeak out of him. Apparently he's going over the numbers, you know, and he was just a C-plus student at Janesville Parker, so, in math. He's good in English, though. He's a B-minus in English. Ayn Rand Paul is not Ron Paul, that's for sure. And Newt got all his limbs cut off last time, and this the first time none of them grew back. Mike Huckabee, well, trailer's still a-rockin', don't come a-knockin'. You can hear the Beyonce drifting out the window. Rick Perry still wearing the glassless frames. still to no effect. Nobody thinks he's smart because he's wearing those. Marco Rubio, whose only advantage is that kids very nearly shout out his name at pool parties. Marco Rubio. Okay. Not much of an advantage, but it's something. Chris Christie, only support so far from Bon Jovi. Not John Bon Jovi. This is his brother, Fred. Got Fred Bon Jovi so far. Scott Walker trying to look presidential. He's taking his first foreign trip to the UP. Oh, they're in Iron Mountain someplace, wandering around there. Walker threw down the gauntlet by saying that Hillary, quote, left parts of the world messed up. End quote. Didn't say which or how, but that's a start. I'm saying that's a foreign policy statement. Walker will be making a trade mission to Israel trying to sell Wisconsin-made Seder plates to the Israelis. They do. They make them in West Bend for some reason. I say Molotov. Okay. I know, it's easy. Easy, easy. Makes it easy. In other political news that isn't the Keystone Pipeline debate, loses some fervor as dropping oil prices make oil sludge the same price as regular sludge. Yeah? Okay. The other Wisconsin senator, Ron Johnson, is suing President Obama, saying he was hurt by Obamacare because now everybody at the plastics plant thinks health insurance is a God-given right. Come on, it's a plastics plant. What do you expect? Health insurance? Okay. Governor President Walker says no casino in Kenosha because some of his best friends are Potawatomis. U.S. House Speaker John Boehner says he's tired of being teabagged by the Tea Party. I mean, dropped in hot water and repeatedly. What's the matter with you people? Okay. Where was I here? Oh, yeah. The plunge in oil prices has forced Halliburton to let Dick Cheney go. Oh, yeah. This is political news. It isn't. What do you want from me? And finally, and I mean that, playing down the whole dynasty thing, Jeb Bush now tells people he's related to the Bush's bean people. And that's all the political news is. And thank you so much. See, that would take a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to our humble stage here at What Do You Know, the Honorable Senator from the state of Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin. The great state of Wisconsin and the great Honorable Senator Tammy Baldwin. Baldwin, you're a senator. I'm sorry. Senator Baldwin.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you? Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. How was that speech there, the State of the Union? Did you enjoy that or not?
Well, there's always a grand moment when we all gather together and the Supreme Court and the cabinet and both houses. But I have an observation. You know who led the round of applause when the president said this was his last election?
No.
Michelle Obama. I kid you not.
Yeah. And the kids had their earphones on listening to Beyonce, right? So they didn't even notice the line at all whatsoever. Is that true, actually? Did she?
It is actually true. I was sitting in a seat that I could see her in the gallery, and she was the first one applauding.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they must have planned that, then, that he could use that laugh line then after that, and he won them both. That was pretty good. Good comeback. So do you have an exploratory committee out? Are you running for any other offices?
I got
some feelers out there?
I am very happy and very privileged to be doing what I get to do.
Yes. But I don't mean to disparage that remark. I know it's true, as a matter of fact, but that's what Scotty Walker said. He wanted to be governor. I had no idea he had higher ambitions, you know. Just, I would have voted for him for president if it would get him out of here, you know. I mean, I think the country deserves that. We don't. We're Wisconsin. Okay, so never. No, you're not thinking about that.
I'm not thinking about that.
But isn't it? Is it good? Now, excuse me. Now you don't have to. You win in the House. You win an election. Take maybe a week off, and you start. That's got campaigning for the next election. You got like a year there, right?
That's right. The 2-year cycle is a great challenge, and I have to say, looking at 6 years is very different, especially in terms of being able to plan for a real agenda, and that's what we've been doing, and it's very exciting to be there fighting for Wisconsin and fighting for economic growth and fighting for an economy that allows everybody to benefit.
Yeah. But this implies you did not have an agenda when you were in the House. Is that... or did you just haphazardly come up with things? And...
Well, you know, we did work on a health bill when I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd that go? Pretty good?
Well, the Affordable Care Act has increased the health care coverage for almost 11 million Americans, yeah. And we're keeping on going and trying to work out the kinks. But
can you talk to your friend Ron Johnson about this? He doesn't seem to agree with that assessment.
Well,
he's hurt. He was hurt by it. He said. I don't know if he meant personally or emotionally
it was,
hurt.
It was interesting because he took his complaints to another branch of government, and he's actually sitting in a branch where we can have debates on how to make it work.
Did you let him know that? Probably wonders what that S-E-N period means in front of his name. I don't want to. I know. It's collegial, though. Is it more collegial in the Senate than it is in the House?
It is.
It is.
You know, I think part of it is just fewer people. It's a little more challenging to really get to know 434 others.
Yeah.
And in the Senate, you really do get to know your colleagues.
Plus, the facilities are a lot nicer. You know, they got health clubs and saunas and workout rooms, right? Am I right?
I do understand those exist.
You haven't used any of them?
You know, I will admit I have paid a monthly membership to the Senate gym, and I haven't worked out.
Yeah.
I have not.
I'm assuming at this point in history they have both male and female locker rooms. In the Senate used to be.
That is true.
Because I don't think Margaret Chase Smith worked out, as I recall.
I was going to say, that is true, although it is my understanding that on the House side in particular, there's huge inequities between the facilities.
Really?
Yeah. Because
do you care
it
to
was
elaborate on those inequities?
Well, the buildings in the House were constructed at a time where there were very, very few, if any, female members of the House of Representatives, and the facilities that exist in the Senate were built at a much later period in time when there were members who were women and men.
Yeah. Well, now you know how we feel in theaters when women have these luxurious restrooms with couches. And I think there's valet parking to get into the restroom. I don't know what it is.
There was a big story about the bathroom facilities in the Senate. Oh. Because last session in the 113th Congress, we hit a record number of women in the Senate at 20. And we still have 20 even after the elections. And there were traffic jams. There were traffic jams in the women's restroom off the Senate floor, and they've improved the circumstances there.
Can you vote from a restroom if you have to?
No.
Oh. Ted Cruz and you.
Oh, yes.
What is this?
I've been receiving a lot of gifts from Ted Cruz recently.
What is happening here?
Well, first, it's not an ancient tradition in the Senate, but it's a fairly recent tradition of Secret Santas right before Christmas. And we pull names.
Just your luck, you got Ted Cruz for a Secret Santa.
He got me.
Oh, he got you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good then.
Yeah. So, and then he leaked it to social media that he had me, and so I got this great Texas cookbook that I am eager to try out in the near future.
Is it roadkill? One of those roadkill cookbooks? Ted Cruz roadkill cookbook.
It's called Texas Eats.
Yeah, that's it. You kill them on the road and you throw them in the, under the engine. They're right in the end. You cook them right on the manifold as you drive. By the time you get to your destination, and dinner is served.
I'll copy you that recipe if I find it in the book. But that wasn't the end of gift giving from Ted Cruz, because we put a little wager on the Packers Cowboys game.
Okay, that one was good.
And he had to pay up.
Yeah. You didn't bet on the other one we don't talk about, did you? Did you?
I did.
Did you? What'd you lose?
Well, some Spotted Cow beer, some Sprecher root beer, and some Renard's cheese curds.
Okay. Well, we all paid the price on that one, I guess. So, your old pal, though, Speaker Boehner, said, he didn't say what I said that he said, but he said that he was... He's kind of coming on, like he said, people think he's squishy. Wasn't it squishy? Wasn't that the word he used? And his bartender tried to poison his beer. I mean, you know, what's happening with I mean, you know John Boehner.
And I do.
He's a decent individual and so forth and trying, you know, the best he can. And now he said the Tea Party is just, he's tired of them just beating the dickens out of me to raise money. So they use him as the boy to raise money over. So
yeah, and it was kind of a tight vote for his speakership this year too.
Yeah, so it could have been. But you have no comments on John Boehner.
Well, I have to say, you know, I don't see him as much as I used to when I served in the House. Yeah. But in my freshman term, our offices were right across the hall from one another before he got his special office in the Capitol when he became Speaker. So
he's a decent fellow.
We would have lovely conversations.
Lovely. He didn't give you any cookbooks or anything, right? Or...
No, I didn't ever get any of Ohio's best.
Yeah. President Obama, so instead of going to Iowa, where he would be going ordinarily at this time, he goes to India. So that means it's official. He's definitely not running again.
I think that's right.
Yeah, unless he's running in India, which is a possible thing. Now, big change in power, of course. There. Did you lose your office? Because you got a pretty good office, I think.
No, I didn't lose my office. Yeah. You know, they go through a draw, but you know, 2 years ago when I was visiting here and talking with you, we were in our temporary quarters, and so we finally moved from temporary to, we were in a trailer 2 years ago, and now we're in our office, and we get to stay. There's been some other changes.
Did you keep it, though? They didn't move? With a lot of shuffling?
Well, certainly there were a number of members who retired, and their offices are now empty, and people are bidding for them. And so my chance to look at another office will come in the spring. I don't know. We have no idea whether we'll stay, but I'm very happy.
It's kind of important.
In terms of office space.
Yes. If you put you somewhere where the lobbyists can't find you, what are you going to do? Are they allowed to actually enter office areas? Or do they have to stay in the lobby? Is that why they're called? I've never understood. How does that work?
Well, you know, actually, if I understand the origins of the term lobbyist, it was actually the lobby of a hotel where members of Congress were known to hang out. I think it was the lobby of the Willard Hotel, if my history serves me correctly. And that's where the term came from. But we try to be very, very accessible in Washington, D.C., and our office on the 7th floor of the Hart office building, we have a constituent coffees on Thursday mornings. We like people to come in and visit, and we don't like to have barriers. And we have a Kringle that we serve at our constituent coffees, and also always have a bowl full of craisins, another great Wisconsin product.
Do you?
From
curds?
The
Any
Marshfield
curds?
Area.
Marshfield, he's there. Any curds? Cheese curds, did you say?
You know, they don't keep as well in an open bowl.
Yeah.
But
we don't care.
But as you know, we promote them when we can.
When we can, yes. There was a thing in this Keystone pipeline thing. So that seems to be the number one on the agenda.
It sure is. It's occupied last week and this week and probably next week.
Yeah. There's a headline in the LA Times said, Keystone XL amendments had senators doing the unusual voting. A lot. So
yeah.
Repeated votes. And I guess you could not even speak to your, if you had an amendment on there, you could not get the floor to explain what your amendment meant.
Thursday night was quite dramatic in that regard. There were a number of my colleagues on the Democratic side of the aisle who had offered amendments to the Keystone bill, and one by one they were tabled, and the authors of the amendments sought recognition and said, we want to at least make our case for the amendment, and they were not allowed to do that. That was too bad.
Ed Markey from Massachusetts, Senator Markey.
Tried to get the attention of the president of the Senate, who the presiding officer. And
and who is that these days?
Well, it varies. They rotate people through.
Yeah.
So
too much for one guy to put all these.
Yeah, they give them about an hour or 2 hour stint, and then they give them a little relief.
Yeah, but it's sort of, but Mitch McConnell is sort of the head of all that, right, in terms of who's recognized or who or what comes on to the floor.
No, the presiding officer actually decides who's recognized, usually by the first person that they hear. Unless it's one of the leaders, and then the rules of presiding are that you're supposed to defer to one of the two-party leaders.
And this is exactly the kind of thing that, that did not happen when the Democrats were in charge. Can we say that? Or
absolutely. No. Absolutely. You can say that. And
but,
I'll agree with
would
you.
Would I be right?
You would be right. You would indeed be right.
Okay. I thought that was interesting. I guess the burning question is, where do you stand on deflated footballs?
Well, it's pretty horrifying. It seems like I had to first of all get a little lesson on why it would help, but I guess it would assist somebody in especially adverse weather conditions in gripping the football.
I have no idea either.
Yeah, and so we're staying tuned. This is
is it a matter of congressional relevance?
Well, let's say that football is an oft-discussed topic among members of Congress.
Yeah.
We're all very proud of our teams, and so it hasn't gotten onto the official agenda yet of any committees, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But certainly it's talked about.
Yeah. Do you have your committee assignments changed as well because of the new leadership? And
Not so much because of the new leadership, but because of slowly advancing seniority. And I just newly was appointed to the Senate Appropriations Committee.
Well, congratulations. That's great. That's a good place for you. And who chairs that committee?
That is chaired by Tad Cochran.
Tad Cochran.
He is from Mississippi.
Mississippi, that's right. Tad Cochran from Mississippi. Okay. Well, good luck with that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that should be interesting. And Ron Johnson, Senator Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. He rhymes with Wisconsin. That's a good thing. Is on Homeland Security.
Yes, he's now chairing the committee, and I'm on that committee with him.
Oh, you are?
I am, yes.
Okay. Well, then it's not as scary as it sounded originally when I heard it. He'll be there. With a world map or something, okay. What does that committee do exactly? What is their goal?
Well, originally, the committee, the full title of the committee is Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, and it used to be really a committee that dealt with our domestic agencies, and then when the Homeland Security Department was created in recent years, pretty much following 9/11, that was the major oversight committee for Homeland Security in addition to the other responsibilities. And so it was pretty broad jurisdiction, and Homeland Security is certainly key. And we have some real special responsibilities right now because, and not to get too much in the weeds, but when we passed the appropriations bill for the 2015 fiscal year, because of President Obama's directives on immigration, they only funded the Homeland Security Department through the end of February. And so we have some really urgent work to do.
So as of March, we have no Homeland Security.
If we don't act soon, and we need to really take politics out of that process because obviously it's a very important department.
Yeah. And I know the cybersecurity, does that come up under that as well?
It does, and we hope we'll get to that very expediently because it's in the news everywhere, and people are very concerned, you know, at the personal level about theft of their identity, and certainly at the macro level about intellectual property and privacy.
Yeah, there's a guy, I think it might have been in Green Bay, who said that his ex-wife had stolen his identity. But I mean, that happened. That's what marriage is all about, you know. I mean, but I know what you mean. That's possible. If a stranger steals your identity, it's a much different situation.
Absolutely, and we've been seeing it happen in these massive data breaches, and people have reason to be concerned. It's a huge, issue.
Yeah, never ending as well, it seems. And what other committees are you on now? You're on Homeland Security.
Homeland Security.
Appropriations, which is a good one, right?
That's Appropriations. I'm very excited about getting working on that committee. I'm also on the Budget Committee.
Budget is important.
And the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. So to help you remember that, there's an acronym.
Yes.
The HELP Committee. Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions.
Somebody worked on that many hours.
Senator Ted Kennedy was the longtime chair of that committee.
Oh, that's really something. That's really cool. And is there any sense of there's better camaraderie, you know, individually and so forth, but of some actually across the aisle, cooperation on issues or?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. We had our first hearing in the HELP committee this week on K-12 education, and feel like there was a good bipartisan discussion, and we hope that there's going to be opportunities to move things forward, especially with regard to education, which is so important as, the primary vehicle for opportunity for all in our country.
Yeah. Were there some opposed to K-12 education?
To be frank, there are certainly those who
K through six. That's it.
They say no, who don't think there should be a federal role, and instead of looking at how can we all work together at all levels with strong local controls and state involvement and federal involvement in particular to make sure that there's equity throughout this nation, and no matter what a child's zip code, that they are able to achieve and have the opportunities.
Yeah. There is this whole thing, the core values, what do they call it in education? The core
curriculum? No.
Well, you know, the core, the things that kids should learn in school.
Yeah. Common core?
Common core, that's what it is. And that's there's a big dividing line there, right?
There is. It is more a debate at the states, as the states have elected to adopt Common Core in the course of getting waivers from the old No Child Left Behind legislation. And actually, that was the subject of our hearing, was how do we reauthorize our national Elementary and Secondary Education Act and fix the very significant flaws of No Child Left Behind. And again, making sure that a child anywhere in the United States, anywhere in Wisconsin, has the opportunities that a high-quality education can provide.
Mm-hmm. And No Child Left Behind, is that Common Core replaced that?
The other way around. Common Core is something that many of the states have adopted in order to get waivers from the penalizing elements of No Child Left Behind.
So that's still in effect, that series of laws, No Child Left Behind?
They are, but many states have been granted waivers from their most punitive provisions.
So some states are allowed to leave some kids behind. you know the ones I mean.
Well, that's the concern of why we need a federal role in education, so that doesn't happen anywhere.
Yeah. And are you sponsoring legislation yourself, or can we not talk about that yet, or is that too soon to say?
There's a lot of areas in education where I'm introducing, either have or will be introducing education-related legislation. Mm-hmm. Right now, one of the big debates is about testing, how often we should test children, whether there should be a yearly test at the federal that's mandated by the federal level. And so one of the things that I'm looking at with colleagues is all the tests that students are subject to and what sort of demands that places on teachers that take them away from their other instruction, in terms of allowing folks to actually understand what's mandated at the local level, what's mandated at the state level, what actually comes from federal directives. And, you know, we want to have teachers have and parents and students have the tools they need to make sure their child is growing every year. But we also want to avoid the huge criticisms of No Child Left Behind, of teaching to the test, and having that take up too much of teacher time. And also, especially the fact that the way No Child Left Behind was put together, schools were unduly penalized for failing to make certain average yearly progress. And that became a huge impediment from which states have gotten waivers, and that's why they've adopted these other reforms, including some of them having chosen to adopt the Common Core.
Yeah, and this community college thing that the president mentioned, can that actually happen, something along those lines?
I certainly hope so. I think that this is such an important piece that really focuses on so many of the challenges. First of all, we've had huge exposure of the gripping debt that so many students are under. A higher education is far more inaccessible these days, and student debt has eclipsed credit card debt in America in recent years.
And a lot of this, I might add, is actually parental debt, but that's
it is. It is. No, that's a very true statement.
I'm not saying it's me necessarily.
Oh, well, maybe.
It's called student debt. But yeah,
right.
It's
right.
Certainly true. It's amazing. The numbers are
families
amazing.
Are burdened by this. Yeah. Is a, probably a better way to say that, but it also really focuses in on the upheavals that we've seen since the Great Recession, in terms of job loss and people in mid-career recognizing that they need to go back to technical college and retool in order to have a job that can support their families. And, you know, if you visit any technical college in Wisconsin, you're going to see a student body that is of all ages and very different than what your stereotype might be. And to make that accessible lifelong is incredibly important to grow our economy and make sure that we have an economy that works for everybody, that lifts everyone. It gives everyone an opportunity for prosperity and the American dream. And so I think this community college proposal really goes squarely to address both of those huge issues that we're facing in the United States right now. And we have a ways to go to figure out how to effectuate it, but I can tell you it was one of the most exciting things that I heard out of the president in the lead-up to the State of the Union.
Yeah. Well, free college, though, that's socialism.
You know, I think about Wisconsin in particular. Yeah. We put the right to a free public education for all of our children in our Constitution, mm-hmm. and I want to see new life breathed into those historic commitments.
Yeah, well, I think it's a great idea. How are the, you know, you must be assaulted now by a whole new brand of lobbyists. And so, I mean, there's a lot of pressures on a senator and a lot of people you can't get away from and hear from. Is it strikingly different from the House side of things?
There's only still 24 hours in a day.
Yeah.
And so in terms of my use of time when I'm in Washington, it's certainly visiting and welcoming the constituents from Wisconsin who come out to talk about the issues that families here face. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of committee work.
I mean, but, you know, if they're from the Chamber of Commerce or something.
Well, from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, or are they from Wisconsin coming here?
They're from
here
the West Bend Chamber of Commerce. I can see that. You know. But I mean, you know what I mean. These sort of all these masses, the pharmaceuticals and all these people. I mean, it's a different game in the Senate, right, than in the House. Well, as far as all those pressures coming at you all the time, and
I certainly think there's a big change when you go from representing a district to representing a whole state, and I embrace those changes. This is an incredible state that I've had the opportunity to be born and raised in, and we respond to those by focusing on our constituents who come to visit and who request my time, and when I'm here in the state, that's how I spend my time. And so there may be numerically more lobbyists who register to work with the Senate than the House. I don't even know if that's the case. But it really doesn't affect my schedule on a day-to-day basis. I'm just doing my job.
Yes. And this golden gavel doesn't hurt either, does it? Did you receive the golden gavel?
I have received one for my first year in the Senate. And I understand...
Is there a cash prize with that? Or is it just...
I don't know what the golden gavel itself would be worth if I put it on eBay, if that's what you're asking.
Is it actually gold, or is it actually a gavel?
It is, and it's kind of heavy. It's small. It's about this size of a gavel, and it comes in a lovely presentation box. Yeah. And when I received... Should I maybe say what the golden gavel is? So when I was in the majority in my first 2 years in the Senate, one of the things we do, especially the new members, the freshman members, is preside over the Senate. And I presided quite a lot. I really loved it because it really gave me an opportunity.
You like presiding, but you don't have an exploratory committee?
That's correct. That's correct. And I like the fact that when I am presiding, they have to refer to me as Madam President.
Noted.
To be recognized. But anyways, there's an old tradition, I think, that started in the 60s, that anyone who presided more than 100 hours in a year was presented with a golden gavel. And I got over 100 hours, regrettably, during the government shutdown, when there were a couple of filibusters being led by... maybe the golden gavel is the first gift that Ted Cruz ever gave me. Think about it. Because I remember
gavel, though,
some like hours in the AM, that early AM, that I was sitting there while he was doing his filibuster. But that got me over the 100 hours in the first. And so
how
I was presented.
I was even a filibuster. He went to Harvard, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. He's a pretty good filibuster-er. Did he stay with the content? Could he follow through on...
Well, I wasn't there when he read the Dr. Seuss story to his kids. When I was presiding at that particular dark moment in our country's history, because the government was closed, and it was a very sad chapter in my mind. But he was indeed talking about the Affordable Care Act, which is what he was filibustering about mainly. But in any event. Last year, I also got a golden gavel, and so I think that the two-time award is rare. And I,
do you have two of them, or did you just give the same one?
The second one has not yet been presented, but I did earn it.
Yeah, and it means 100 hours.
100 hours in the chair.
Yeah, okay. Are you going to get one, you think?
I'm told.
It's like Michelin stars or something.
One can't earn one in the minority because it is the responsibility of the majority party to assign the presiding officers.
So that's it, huh?
Well, there's 6 years to the term, and there's another election in 2016, and we just don't know.
Senator, I want to thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to see you, and you're doing so well. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And happy anniversary. This is so exciting.
30 years and no gavels, nothing. Nothing. Not a lousy day. Senator Tammy Baldwin, ladies and gentlemen, the great state of Wisconsin. Thank you so much. Senator Baldwin. And you didn't play Tammy. I love that fact that you no longer do that.
Too cheesy. Now she's in the Senate.
I know. Can't do that.
I respect a little more.
I hear you very much. All right. So
I learned a new word, too.
What'd you learn?
Effectuate. Yeah.
Yeah. You get elected to the Senate, you'll be saying effectuate.
Yeah.
Is it? I wonder. Yeah, that's an interesting word. Isn't it? Okay, to effectuate. Mm. Yeah. So, what are you going to effectuate right now?
I'm
going
to try to effectuate a tune here, and it's an old pop song, actually.
Oh.
And you'll recognize it.
I will. We'll see.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, Senator Baldwin, golden gaveled us. This is like Ted Cruz. So we're running a little bit late now. So we're going to have to go right to the quiz, okay? So I'll get a chance to talk to you later. So if there's something, like you had something you wanted to say, right?
No.
Yeah, okay. But some of you did, is what I'm saying, and then so we'll get to those. So hold those thoughts. Right now, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the What Do You Know quiz, don't we? And with that, anyone from Green Bay who has that? Yes, okay. And we'll not talk about any, you know, games of sport.
Right. Oh, yeah. I'm fine.
And you are?
Keith Lutz.
Keith, you're from Green Bay?
Not originally, no.
Oh, where are you from originally then?
Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
I went to a rival high school.
Which one?
Boys Tech.
Boys Tech. Does that still exist? I don't think it does.
No, they don't have, it's not just boys anymore, but the school still exists.
Okay. Boys and Girls Tech now. So if you
Milwaukee
take
Tech.
That there, here, take that and just do it.
All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Not a warming denier, but I don't think it will ever get. I don't know.
It didn't make sense when I wrote it.
It didn't make sense when I read it either. So. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for the change. All opinions expressed by What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. You killed it. Good man. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. All right, you're right here. You're convenient. You're convenient. Very nice. That's a good color for you.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
And you are?
Ken Lutz.
Ken Lutz?
My Uncle Keith here. No. We have never met.
Never met? He's a Lutz and you're a Lutz?
Yeah, we have the same. Lutz.
Lutz. A Lutz. Even better, a Lutz. So Ken. So K Lutz would actually be Klutz.
You're right. That's it.
That's my first name.
What?
Keith.
I'm Ken.
Every Lutz has a K. Every Lutz I have ever met has a K, and making them Klutz.
My middle initial is G, Gregory, so it's really Klutz.
Okay, well, that doesn't quite work out, man. Ken?
Yeah.
Can I call you Ken?
Oh, please do.
Give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Actually, I got up this morning, and that was a feat in and of itself, so I'd like to...
For getting up in the morning, okay. If you're a klutz, it's hard to do. Let's go right to the stage, and we're getting ready for a fabulous What Do You Know quiz. Have a seat there, Ken. Make yourself at home. All right. Whoa. I'll tell you, if your name... we are short on time here, and if you want to play with Ken Lutz, and you don't have to be a Lutz to do it... But anyone from Dodgeville out there, first person from Dodgeville to call and gets to play with Ken Lutz. Oh, Ed, is that you?
That's me.
Are you from Dodgeville?
Yes, I'm from Dodgeville.
What are the odds of that? And from Dodgeville called in almost immediately when I said that. Amazing. We have a terrific response from Dodgeville. Always did. Ed, what do you do out there?
I train out of Madison for Air Gas Merchant Gases.
You drink and what?
No, yes, I do that too. No, I drive a truck, tanker truck for Air Gas Merchant Gases out of Madison.
Oh, you drive a truck. Okay. Are you working today?
No. Okay. I'm sitting in Madison waiting for friends of ours to get out of the mall at JCPenney here, and then we're going to go for lunch in Madison.
They're in JCPenney's there?
JCPenney. JCPenney?
Yeah. Don't you go in there yourself? Isn't there something you need, Ed?
No, there's nothing that I need in JCPenney.
Okay. Ed, this is Ken.
More of a Sears kind of guy.
Okay. Ed, Ken, Ed.
Hi, Ed. How you doing?
Ken, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
Yeah. What field are you in, Ken?
I'm a retired accountant.
Retired accountant. Yeah. Okay. So are you still accounting in your sleep?
Occasionally I do, yes.
Okay. Yeah. You guys work together. It's collaborative. And what categories have we, Sarah?
We have current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
All right, Ed, you pick the first one. What would you like?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. How long have you been waiting for these people to get out of Penoir?
Oh, about 15 minutes now.
Okay. What are they looking for, do you know?
Oh, they're a friend of mine's wife is in there having her hair done.
On your time.
Well, no, we're... Not really my time.
Well, you're waiting for her.
They do have the best underwear in Penney's. So, Ed, if you're looking for underwear...
Ken Lutz endorsed underwear, JCPenney.
Underwear.
Okay, here's the question. Odds and ends. Which of the following passwords is not on the list of worst passwords for 2014? Okay, not on the list of worst passwords. Is it let me in, Kim Jong Un, or trust no one?
Kim Jong-un is what I would guess.
That's what not on the list, but that's what I would say.
Yes, yeah. You're right. Kim Jong-un is not on the list, but I think it's a great one. I offer it out there. Number one is still 123456. Password, the word password is still number two, and 12345 has moved up to number three from 17, so... A lot of people are just dropping the six on the end of their password. So
that's one right and zero wrong. And the categories left are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school or science.
Okay. Well, with Tammy Baldwin here, let's say current events. We learned a lot today.
Current events. Yeah. Okay, this is kind of counting. Out of 12 footballs, how many can be underinflated and you still won't notice it?
Well, Ed, there was 11 deflated footballs out of 12, so I'd guess 10?
I think you're overthinking this.
Okay. I'm thinking three.
Well, all right, now, gentlemen, maybe I stated this wrongly. Now,
confusing let's say, question. Yeah.
Okay, you got 12 footballs, right?
Yep.
And according to the individuals who studied it, there 11 of them were underinflated. And according to Tom Brady and his coach, Belichick, they didn't notice it. So wouldn't the answer then be?
None.
As many as?
12, 11.
11 or 12. An accountant is saying 11 or 12.
Thank
today.
You.
I can't believe it. I'm so glad you're not my accountant.
11.5.
All right. So you said, Ed, come on, help me out here. I mean, they said there 11 were, and they didn't say it, so you can obviously have how many then?
11.
11?
Yes, of course. What? Holy cow. Were you a CPA or what?
I am a CPA, and now I'm kind of embarrassed for the profession.
Yeah.
And I apologize.
CPA.
It's two right and zero wrong.
Gave him the damn answer.
The categories left are people, places, things you should have learned in school, or science.
Ed? Ed, still there?
Science.
Okay, I thought her hair was done. I was very excited for a minute, but you know it's going to be another hour.
No, it's getting hair martini time now.
Yeah. But women and their hair appointments, you can't rush it.
Okay. Now Ken's got to go and mention the underwear department in there.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, what did you want?
Science.
Science.
Okay, science. I should be listening. But
us accountants aren't good at science.
Perplexed. Do men and women process emotions differently? Do men and women process emotions differently? A, yes, B, no, or C, hiss.
Hey, I'm sitting here with my wife. Hey.
Let's see. Yes, no,
hello?
Or hiss.
Well, yeah. I like the hiss. I really
I like the hiss,
do.
Too. Yeah, I've never really done it before. Yeah, it's kind of empowering. It's
it's probably not the right answer, and no. It's probably yes.
Yes, he says yes. Ed, yes?
Yes,
or no,
absolutely.
Or hiss?
Yes. Oh, no. Yes. Women definitely process information differently.
Yes, they studied with MRIs, and men, they could not find men's brain centers. So, holy cow, that means it. They were looking in the wrong place, you know, that old story. Anyhow,
I have to do with logic and reasoning.
Okay. Oh, good. Give him a chance here to win everything. How
yeah,
about
let's
that?
Give him a chance.
One chance.
One chance.
How does that work then?
Well, they choose a category. If they get the answer right, they get everything. If they get it wrong, they get nothing.
Everything meaning?
The whole kit and caboodle.
The kit and caboodle.
Can we say that in this country?
Yes, no, that's good. Yes. Okay. She's Canadian. She's
hey, thanks, Ken. I'm in for the kit and caboodle.
Okay, the kit and caboodle. You too, Ken?
I'd like the kielbasa. I like that better.
Kielbasa was nice. The kit and caboodle is nice.
Caboodle is good.
Let's be haggis in there from Canada. You know, you never know what you're getting.
Let's go for it, Edward. We're on a run.
Okay. So what categories are left then?
Oh, the categories left are people, places, or things you should have learned in school.
Okay. Ken?
Things we should have learned in school if we were paying attention.
Good choice.
School? Yeah. Yes.
Well,
okay.
No.
What?
No.
Oh, hang in there, Ed. Come on. You got a long way ahead of you. Just relax. All right, this school. What is the sun's actual name? Sun, we know it's a star or something. What is the sun? What's its actual name? Sun.
Solar.
The sun. What is the sun's name?
The solar.
Plexus?
I don't think that's...
Talk it over.
The actual
old Sol, you're saying? Old Sol?
So.
Sun's name. Does sun have a name other than sun, I guess is what I'm asking. Or is it called sun?
Well, I've always referred to it as the sun.
The sun.
That's where it came from. My accountant calls it the sun. It must be the sun. Pretty much the sun, I would call it.
And this isn't multiple choice.
This was something that you actually learned in school, you think?
Can you deduct it, though, Ken?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying the sun is called the sun?
That's what I'd call it, yeah.
Yeah. Ed,
I'm sure I
that?
Learned that.
Go along with that.
I would say the sun is the sun.
The sun is the sun. There's no scientific name for it. It's a trick question.
Ken, from Teflon to super glue to Botox, you'll find all these and more in Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? Test your knowledge with the ultimate collection of amazing trivia, quizzes, stories, fun facts,
Faster.
And everything else you never knew you wanted to know from source books.
Faster.
And then delight your ears with some herbal tea and Happy Man Blues on the CD No Part of Nothing from Little Rockaway's Runaway Planet. Go incognito on your next shindig with a bendable party mustache made of genuine synthetic hair from Archie McPhee, and peer into puzzles of the past with Nick Bilardi's A People's History of the Peculiar, a freak show of facts, random obsessions, and astounding truths from Viva Editions. Ed, you make every day a quiz-winning day with a cup of Steven Brew's breakfast blend coffee, and keep the Jabba Jive going with sweet and smooth Costa Rican Terrasu from Madison's Steven Brew Coffee, which is coffee done right. Then dress up your favorite pooch with a royal red plaid bandana from Stellaware.com. Celebrate the largest assembled group of Kissel luxury automobiles wearing a t-shirt from the Wisconsin Automotive Museum in Hartford, and enjoy motorless entertainment any time of day or night playing What Do You Know, the party game, including audience contestants, cards, and the Speedway Ready Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing. Congratulations to you both.
The kid and Caboodle. Nice job, Sarah.
Thank you.
You win, man. Thank you very much for playing. Ed, hang on. You'll be there for a while anyhow. Just sit there for a minute. And we'll get an address from you. Because she's probably getting it frosted and, you know, whatever they do. Okay. Thanks, Ed.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI. That's Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international, and this is PRI, Public Radio International.
That's Ed from Nashville. He's on his friend's wife's hair appointment. That's pretty cool. That's a nice guy. Might have been the daughter.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
I'm flummoxed.
That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass. I'm Sarah Nix.
Hi, Sarah.
In this hour of What Do You Know, the legendary Henry Sapoznik showcases klezmer music. Plus, thanks for the memos, all the news that is, and more of the What Do You Know quiz.
Oh, yeah.
Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who will not run and, if elected, will not serve, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah. That's my position. I maintain it. Effectuate. I effectuate. Is that what it was? Effectuate?
Effectuate.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to catch on with you know, people outside of the Senate.
No.
Would you use effectuate in your everyday conversation?
Good
to effectuate you. No, that's not. How would you use it exactly?
I'd like to effectuate a change in my marketing habits.
Whoa.
I think I'll buy the chocolate instead of the vanilla. And by doing so, I've effectuated a change.
Okay, anyhow, you know, each week at this time, read actual memos sent in by actual listeners, just to prove we have actual listeners, pretty much. And this one here is, all right. So this is actually like an inside of the making of television. Grey's Anatomy is on TV, isn't it? Yes, that's a big show on TV, isn't it? So this is like from the set of Grey's Anatomy, pretty cool. And it says this actually comes from the electrical, the best boy. You know, that's that guy, you don't know what they do. Not the key grip. The best boy. And he, somehow he got this memo. And this was on the set. So here it is. Okay. To the production staff. So he got this. It is Ray Blood. Regarding blood. Here is a straight story. One, if the blood is applied to wardrobe, not on the actor's body, it is a wardrobe function. Two, if the blood is applied to wardrobe on the actor's body, it is a function of special effects. Three, if the blood is applied to a bandage not on the actor's body, it is a property function. Four, if the blood is applied to a bandage on the actor's body, it is a special effects or makeup function, depending upon whether it is from an open wound or whether the wound is gushing. Five, if the blood is on an actor's skin, it is a makeup function, unless, again, the wound is seeping. Six, if the blood is traveling at more than 32 miles per hour, it is a function of special effects, unless it is being transported in a Red Cross vehicle, in which case it becomes Teamster. Now, given all this information, it would seem considerably less trying to simply accept the basic premise that if you have time, apply some blood. If you don't have the time, ask someone to help you. They're nice people. They won't yell at you. If you want to do it according to the rules, you now have them. P.S., we will have a technical advisor on the set at various times. She also will assist in the bandaging and the application of blood. If things get real tough, I'll come down to the set and spread a little myself. Thank you so much for that very special memo from the set of Grey's Anatomy on blood usage. I like the Teamster one myself. That's good to know. Teamsters are involved in blood. Then we have some things, all the news that is from around here. These are actual things that happened. And it was, it's hard to read this one here. I have to take off my glasses and try to read this. That's the way things are going these days. Olivia Munn, the actress girlfriend of Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers, gave Conan viewers across the nation a glimpse in the Wisconsin way of living on his show, especially the concept of putting meat on hold at the meat market. Yes, apparently they don't do this in other parts of the country. I mean, it's shocking when you see this. Boy, meat on hold, of course. You know, hold me a nice rump roast. Or hold my rump roast, I guess is what you would say. Munn, a Hollywood actress, was born in Oklahoma. And she was promoting her new Johnny Depp movie, Mordecai. But she gave an unexpected boost to the old-fashioned meat market. Maplewood Meats in Howard. Anyone go there? Good, huh? What do you like there?
Everything.
What do you put on hold at Maplewood?
Sausage.
Sausage? Good sausage? Like a venison sausage or what? Yes. Yes? That's what you do? There you go. Anyone else? What meat do you have on hold, sir?
Really good smoked bacon.
Smoked bacon. Ooh, that sounds good. All right. Let me go back to this. But anyhow, this is Sound of the Nation, apparently. And the guy from there said, Maplewood, Maplewood is a family-owned meat processing facility established in 1983, 85-foot meat case. That's a big meat case. You get the full tenderloin in that, baby. It offers specialty sausages, gourmet products, venison, and others, custom slaughtering. See, custom slaughtering, a lot of people would say, would not know what that was. You want custom slaughtering. And processing to local farmers. Maplewood plant manager Brad Van Hemlerlich, a regular Conan watcher, knew that Munn stops in almost weekly during the Packer season to pick up meat, especially steaks. But he was still surprised to hear Munn mention the plant on the show. He said he received lots of compliments Wednesday after Munn mentioned the plant. He said, in fact, we're getting a lot of nice compliments, just kind of reconfirming the unique shopping experience we offer of you picking it out and we're wrapping it. Is that a Wisconsin guy? Isn't that nice? I think that's kind of cool that finally the word got out on holding meat at the meat market. And this very nice meat. Oh, that's from around here. Kind of less good news, I guess, is Screech, of course, got arrested in Wisconsin. Saw that. And he's living. The worst news is that he's actually living in Port Washington now. Screech, you know, from, what is that show?
Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell, yeah. And he still looks like Screech, pretty much. He grew a beard and everything, but he can't conceal it. That is definitely Screech, and he tried to stab somebody who was taking his picture in a Port Washington bar or something like that. And he just pled, no, not guilty. Okay. I tend to let him go. It's hard to be Screech all your life. Can you imagine? I mean, he's living in Port Washington. Give the guy a break, you know. Just give him a fine or something. Take his knife away. That's not important. Here's an American Girl scam you should know about. Yes, a Minnesota couple. See, actually, it's their problem. Who worked in law enforcement. Are accused of running a scam involving American Girl merchandise. Investigators say the Farmington, Minnesota couple bought discount items online at the American Girl store at the Mall of America store and returned them to the American Girl store at the Mall of America for full price refund. So watch out for this happening. And they're in law enforcement. So 135 items. That's a lot of American Girl dolls. And so just be aware of that is what I'm saying. Just an update now. The man who blamed the fish for his DWI, beer battered. You remember him? 75-year-old friendship man. Friendship is right. And Adams, they don't know him from America. Friendship, he's very well known, you know. The 75-year-old friendship man, we talked about him before, who told the deputy he smelled like alcohol because he had just eaten beer-battered fish, pleaded not guilty to his 10th offense, drunken driving. So he eats a lot of fish. He loves fish. John Prisbola. And so he pleaded not guilty. So that's just an update on that. And we'll let you know what happens from here. He had his breath test was 0.062.
Oh, that's under.
The legal limit is 0.02.
No.
So it was all you can eat, obviously. All you can eat, beer battered fish.
You got some wrong information there, but that's still what? Fine.
That's right, isn't it? I'm perfectly right.
Oh, if you've already been convicted, it goes lower and lower. Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on 10th time, they give you, can't catch you any more breaks. Stealing identity, I talked about him. Scott Walker deletes a tweet. Okay, that's about it for all the news around you. Thank you so much for that. Nice to be here with you. And for the memo. Thank you very much for that memo. That was a cool memo, right? Grey's Anatomy. Using blood and Grey's Anatomy. I'm really happy to have that memo. Where can they send memos or anything else that people might want to send me?
They can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and find a way to post it there.
Yeah.
There's also snail mail.
Snail mail. You never use it, right? When's the last time you actually put a letter in the mail?
Oh, I'm actually a big believer in snail mail, postcards in particular.
You use postcards?
Mm-hmm, yeah, they're nice.
How much are postcards now? It used to be a penny.
Like a buck.
No.
Yeah, man.
There's no penny postcards anymore?
Not in my experience.
Holy cow.
How much are beer nuts?
How much are beer nuts? Good question. Okay. how many of you are familiar with klezmer music? Anyone? Any klezmerim here? Okay, well, klezmer music is sort of like East European hillbilly music. So if you can combine those two, you get klezmer music. And to prove it, we have with us here today, joining me right now, Henry Sapoznik, who knows all about the klezmer and can play it. And he, there he is. Henry Sapoznik with a Z, ladies and gentlemen. Don't accept an S and you're a Sapoznik. That's about right, isn't it? Eastern European hillbilly music?
Awfully close.
Yeah.
Awfully close. Thank you for having me on to help defile our people's Sabbath.
Yes.
I really appreciate it.
I believe I'm enhancing it.
Yes, you are. Yes.
But I'm reform.
Oh, you look okay to me.
I'm so reform, I'm Unitarian, as a matter of fact. That's how reform
Everyone
I
needs
am.
A hobby.
Yes. Everyone needs a hobby. It's a good one. Klezmer music. I mean, why does it exist? Let's put it that way.
It's traditional dance music. Traditional music,
yeah.
Old time fiddle music, 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
Was played Eastern Europe and was part of the baggage that emigres brought with them, yeah. Old time music.
So if you were going to a Romanian wedding, let's say in the 17th century.
Yeah.
Whatever. They would play klezmer music?
I can still hear it now. It's like the echoes are still coming over the centuries. Yeah, that's what they were playing. And it really had a real profound effect on music here.
It affected actually kind of what Appalachian music?
Well, not hillbilly music particular. In fact, it's kind of interesting because even though I grew up with klezmer music, my parents were Holocaust survivors, but I got into hillbilly music in my teens and went down south to study with one of the great fiddlers and banjo players named Tommy Jarrell.
Tommy Jarrell.
Fabulous North Carolinian.
North Carolina.
And he was actually puzzled that a lot of Jews were coming to study with him. It was like this really...
Because none of them come to study with me.
Well, his own kids weren't studying with him. But he asked me, he says, you know, don't your people got none of your own music? I mean, he was puzzled. He says, really? You come here to take our music? You know, so it got me thinking about playing the equivalent of hillbilly music.
Yeah, and he was a fiddle player?
Fiddle and banjo.
And banjo.
Yeah, really. Not at the same time.
So do you play both?
I do.
Yeah.
Fiddle, my neighbors asked me to stop.
Yeah.
So.
And they didn't stop with the banjo? That's fine with them?
It's more of a weapon than an actual instrument.
Yeah.
But, so.
Okay, now, just wait a second here.
Okay.
Klezmer itself is a word. What does the word mean?
It's two words. It's from the Hebrew klezmer, which means.
Oh, klezmer.
A klezmer, of course, one of your standard openings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And means musical instrument. So it actually means an instrument, and it became sort of like...
So it means musical instrument.
Means musical instrument.
Oh, isn't that interesting? And so it covers a host of sins.
As it were, yeah. Yeah. So
you could play what and still be a klezmer musician?
Which instrument or which music?
Which?
I play, as you will soon see, instruments that are not necessarily associated with the music.
And yet you play them.
And yet. Pawn shops are full of great instruments.
Yes. The clarinet, though, is that...
Clarinet was a really big standard instrument by the end of the 19th century.
Military when I listen to Benny Goodman sometimes, I think, well, that sounds a lot like the stuff he does.
You're
sound a lot
the
like
one.
Klezmer
I was
music.
Wondering who thought that. Yeah. Benny was one of the people. He's more associated with it than actually played it. Artie Shaw was much closer to the roots.
Really?
Artie Shaw had a closer affiliation with the music.
They changed it what? From Shlomovich?
Warshawski.
Really? Honest to God.
I'm learning
such things. Artie Shaw was Jewish.
Yes, whole minutes.
I wish my mother was around, I'd tell her.
I'd be very excited
to know that.
Yeah, so that's what it is. Traditional music became popular music, and now it's enjoying this huge
Now,
re-interest.
So back in the old countries, whatever they were, Poland or Germany, wherever you were, Romania.
Don't limit yourself.
Was it limited to Jewish people playing this type of music, or was it also popular in the wider?
A lot of people played the music. It was one thing that you could have a shared culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would have people who were making, you know, music, gypsies, non-Jews, and they would play music together. Yeah. It was really very powerful. That's part of the reason why the music has so much resonance, because it really reflects a lot of different cultures.
Yeah. And why does it sound so much like that Southern sort of hillbilly music?
It's what dance musicians call the lift. It's dance music, and it has that sort of drive, that built-in metronome that gives the music. And there's certain dance forms that sound very similar. Virginia Reel has a real connection to some of the East European Jewish dances also. So these are shared cultural things. Yeah. I'm not sure that the banjo was found in Eastern Europe. Yeah. Or actually, if it was called a banjo.
Henry,
I would get that out of the way early.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a little bit late, but that's okay.
Oh, can I go now?
No. Okay. And then, is there a body of music, tunes themselves that survive this, or is this more like, were they like jam sessions where they just sort of played a lot of music and people?
No, they were tunes.
Then were the tunes handed down? Do we have klezmer tunes?
Yeah,
themselves?
Yeah. There. A lot of this stuff was in the oral tradition. Yeah. People learned to play, and it's most traditional music. You learn to play by doing. It's sort of the Montessori band.
Yeah.
The people were just learning to play the music.
It's like bluegrass or something like that, where they would pass on tunes, but just from hearing that, other people would do
it. It's actually a closer analogy, like you said, to hillbilly music, because bluegrass is more show music, and old-time hillbilly music is more dance music.
Oh, okay.
I put out a tune book in the early 1980s, which was based on 78s. There was a lot of this music. We're really lucky that there was a lot of this music recorded on commercial 78s in the teens and 20s.
Really?
And we have, in fact, what I do here in Madison is I run the Mehrent Institute for Yiddish Culture right here. And we have a huge collection. We have 9,000 Yiddish 78s. In fact, the Mills Library here at the university has probably the country's best collection of historic sound recordings. It's a really great place to have this material.
That's good to know. And you have a band, right? Is there a klezmer band that you guys assemble and play?
Yeah, I have a band called the Youngers of Zion. We're the
not so much anymore.
I'm getting a little long in the tooth.
Yeah.
So I'm going for the play traditional, and it is kind of as you'll hear, kind of a string based music, fiddle, cello, tenor, guitar, traditional sound.
Well, Henry, say no more. Get up there and play us something. Well,
I think I can do just that.
Henry Sapoznik, ladies and gentlemen, is going to give you an example of what we're talking about here. It's pretty cool, I think. What are you going to start it with here?
I'm going to start by opening the case.
The case, okay. Is there a trick to it?
No, it's...
Oh, look at that. What is that?
This is...
Beautiful.
It's a tenor guitar.
Yeah.
And it was made right here in Madison. One of the great luthiers in the country lives right here in Madison, Todd Cambio. And he built this for me.
Yeah.
And it's a tenor guitar. It's the neck of a tenor banjo and the body of a guitar. And my favorite music of all of the thousands of records I collect is Yiddish vaudeville songs from the 1920s.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
And I'm going to do one. I have a kind of an ongoing hobby of translating these songs into English. This is a pop song from the 20s called Ich bin a border by mein Vibe, which means I am a I'm a border, I'm a roomer, I'm a roommate of my wife's. It was written by a man named Reuben Doctor. Reuben Doctor wrote this. I'm sure his mother had wished it had been the other way around, actually. I think she'd rather have been Dr. Reuben. So anyway, here's this song, and it's in Yiddish and English. I'll let you figure out which one
you're saying. Okay.
Ich bin schon wieder single, pink say wie a jingle, mit mein Weibel hab ich sehr gegett. Getracht hab ich zu muffen, um Gesicht zu schluffen, hat mein Weibel mich die Berge rett. Groß darfst du sich in Blicken, in fremde Rums der Sticken, in sein allein in Retten, zieh die Wand. Sei du wer pink wie Friel, sei ein Bordell, jetzt bei mir, wie ein Fremder zu lechir dem Renn. Weil ich bin Border bei mein Bab, Männer ist das der teure Job. Sie attendet mich mit alles, wenn ich kein Freck, sie kein Scheiß. Ich bin Border bei mein Bab. My wife and I just parted, and I'm back where I started, like a bachelor when I was a kid. I gave some thought to moving, but my wife said disapproving, stay right here, it's better, so I did. Why go and look for shelter, half-cocked and helter-skelter, just to be alone and save a cent. A favor, stay right here, it'll work out, have no fear, like a stranger I pay her my rent. Cause I am a boarder at my wife's. What an improvement in our lives. No more problems, never Harry, we are happily unmarried. I am a boarder at my wife's. Tell you folks I'm lucky, everything's just ducky, it's better to be renting than be wed. I don't have to worry, for she won't make me hurry, if I choose to stay out late instead. My wife used to berate me, belittle and deflate me, in short she made my life a living hell. But since I've started paying rent, I've been treated like a gent. The best revenge I've found is living well. Cause I am a boarder at my wife's. What an improvement in our lives. No more problems, never Harry. We are happily unmarried. I am a boarder at my wife's. Weil ich bin a border by man war. Männer ist das der teure Job. Sie attendet mich mit alles, wenn ich kein Freck, sie kein Scheiß. Ich bin a border by man war.
That was great, Henry. And so true.
And is.
Yes.
Ripped from the headlines.
Ripped from the headlines. And do we know who to credit that song to?
Yes, it was Reuben Doctor.
Reuben Doctor, yes.
Who was,
oh, yeah, you said. You know,
I did. That was Reuben, my laugh line. Was
yes,
walking
I'm sorry, I missed
over.
That. I missed your laugh line. But I missed a lot of mine.
I brought an extra laugh line. Just
no, it was good. And so that was a great song.
Thanks.
Perfect song, yeah. And your translation is impeccable.
Oh, thank you.
I can't tell. I don't speak
Yiddish.
Well, that's
what I was. That's what I asked.
It all rhymed. It was great.
It had whole moments.
Excellent. And so you think, by Mere Mr. Shane, when that was a big hit.
Huge hit.
That's sort of from the same tradition, right?
Well, by Mere Mr. Shane was from the Yiddish theater,
yeah.
Big pop song,
yeah.
And the composer of it, Shoem Secunda, in order to make the rent, sold the rights to it for $30.
Really?
Yeah. So who said Jews are good in business?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was with Andrew Sisters or one
of them? Yeah, some small trio from some Midwestern state. Yeah, they're Minnesota's favorite daughters.
What's the next one we got here, Henry?
The next one we have is actually a tune.
On the banjo this time?
Well, this is not a banjo. I'm going to play another instrument.
Here. You only get one more tune, you know.
I do, in fact.
Yes, yeah, if you want to use your banjo, this is your last chance to do it.
I left the banjo at home. Can you wait a minute?
Oh,
wait. That'll hold up the show.
Oh, Henry, what are we going to do with you?
What are we going to do without me?
Yeah.
So this is another cambio instrument.
Okay.
It's just
Made here in Madison.
Made here in Madison.
They're beautiful. They're beautiful.
He's a really fabulous instrument maker. It's a Hawaiian lap steel guitar.
Yeah.
And I've been playing some...
From the Hawaiian Jewish heritage?
Yeah, the pineapples are the original Jewish instrument. So I've been playing this instrument for whole days now. So I figure, you know, if I'm going to suffer for my art, why shouldn't the audience join me?
Yeah, why shouldn't they suffer?
So this is a medley of some klezmer tunes.
Yeah.
It's a medley. It starts off with a kind of an improvised piece called a doina, goes into a slow dance called a hora, and it ends with a fast tune called a bulgar.
Yeah.
All within 3 minutes.
Wow.
Let's do it.
Henry Sapoznik, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Okay. Here we go. I'm going to go in the audience. I didn't get a chance last time. I'm going to make up for it this time. Okay. Wasn't that great? It was terrific. Yeah, klezmer music. Brooke Nimmer is from Luxembourg, Wisconsin. Not Luxembourg, Luxembourg. Hi, how are you? Okay. I'm going to talk to you because you are worth talking to. Brooke Nimmer of Luxembourg, this is not your life, but it's about a few seconds out of it. And you get to say anything you want on national radio. Isn't that amazing? Yes. Can I get you to stand up here? How are you?
Good.
What are you doing these days?
Today we're in Madison visiting friends.
Yeah. Who are you visiting? These are the friends, and you made them come to the show, too, huh?
I did.
That's what it was. That's what friends are for, I guess. Yeah. Did you know about the show before you were forced to come?
Yeah, this is my Christmas present.
No! What did you want?
Exactly this.
This is what you wanted?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you need, like, a fishing rod or something, or a new reel, or...
I have plenty of those.
You do?
I need more people to use them.
Oh, okay, all right. And what's your name?
Ted.
Ted?
Truska.
Ted Truska. Well, Ted, nice to meet you, Ted. I'm sorry this is all you got. But I So, Brooke, how are things going?
They're going great.
Yeah. What you're doing, your physical therapist says here.
Yes, I am.
In Luxembourg?
Actually, I work in Green Bay.
You do? Mm-hmm. Kind of a commute, though, isn't it?
A 20-minute.
Well, it's not bad. I didn't realize they were that close to Luxembourg and Green Bay.
Yes.
Surprising geographical fact. She asks me, what is your favorite cuisine or what's your real job?
Just wondering.
It's an odd combination of questions. You know, I could either talk about cuisine. I don't eat cuisine. I just eat food.
Well, what food do you like?
Well, you mean cuisine-wise?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I like a wide variety. I'll eat anything, pretty much. What do you like?
I, too, will eat just about anything.
I'm a cook in my family by default. And if you tasted it, you'd agree. It was my fault, yes.
What does your family think about that?
They eat, have to like it or they don't eat. You know, my wife cooked in the beginning. That was some years ago, the beginning. And then now I rent from her, so I... and I do the cooking, so, you know. But I'll tell you what I like to make. I will make chicken. And you put salt and pepper on it. You put it in the oven at 350, and you do something for about an hour.
And what do you like to do?
All that chicken Feldman. Chicken you can walk away from. And then it's all done. So that's fine. Do you cook?
I do cook.
Yeah. What do you make?
Well, just
What's
about
your piece
it?
Of resistance?
Something in a skillet with chicken.
So, yeah, the same. Sounds like Feldman chicken. And this is my real job so far. So.
Oh, we were just wondering.
Yeah. What's your real job?
Fish biologist.
Fish? Oh, you're the fish biologist. Yeah.
Yeah.
How's that going? Pretty good.
Pretty good. It's cold.
Yeah. Do the fish pay you, or somebody else pay you?
Somebody else pays me.
Yeah. And what actually do you do with the fish when you're biologizing them?
Measure them, weigh them, count them. Yeah. You know.
Just for your own personal benefit, or is it a state thing?
I work for the Feds, the Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay.
We work on lake trout and lake whitefish in Lake Michigan.
Yeah. And are you finding pretty good weights and lengths?
they're doing okay.
They're doing okay?
Yeah, most of them.
Okay, all right. And the few that aren't, what do you do for them? Is there a federal program that pays them stipends?
Mostly fillets.
Okay. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. Merry Christmas. Belated Merry Christmas. All right. That wasn't that painful, was it? It was somewhat. My wife and I are celebrating our 34th anniversary today. Where would you recommend going to dinner? Why not eat at home? You know? Why break the trend? 34 years, are we going to go out suddenly? Where is Jeff Gerke, Appleton controller? He's a controlling individual, this guy. He's a controller. Don't you ever wonder what a controller is? I've seen that. Do you know what a controller is?
Controls money.
Oh, good. I want to go see him then. All right. Jeff Gerke Appleton controls money. You should put that on there. Where is he again? Down here? Okay, I got to go down here. Pardon me. If I step on anything, just scream.
I'll just scream.
Why you clutch? Oh, God, you scared me. Are you an actor or something? That was very convincing.
No, I'm not.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
A teacher? That's okay. Don't apologize. We need those too.
I'm very proud of it, actually.
Yeah. No. What do you teach?
I'm on the faculty at Edgewood College.
Oh, wonderful. What do you teach there?
Operations.
What?
Operations. I'm in the school
what?
Of business.
What is operations?
Well, hire me. I'll show you.
God, I can't get anything right. What's your name?
Fazl Hayati. Fazl?
Yeah. And I got to hire you before you answer my question?
Well, you get...
I don't think I can afford you if you're working at Edgewood.
You. Well, you get paid for questions, so...
Boy. We'll never know what he does. Now, the controller will talk about it, I predict, right? Where is that controller?
Right here.
Jeff, are you a controlling individual outside of work?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that why you went into controlling as a profession?
Probably I was predisposed to it.
Predisposed?
Yes. Yeah.
When you were a kid, did you make a lot of money in various ways?
No, but I still controlled things.
Still controlled? What did you do? Just strength? Sure, brute strength?
No.
As a kid?
Made sure everything was evenly shared between my siblings and myself.
How many siblings were there?
Two.
Okay. So there'd be three
all
together?
Including me, three all together.
Three all together, okay. And we're in the birth order, then you're the oldest?
Oldest, of course.
Okay. It's all beginning to make sense now. I'm beginning to understand that. And who do you control for?
Consumer goods company, SCA.
What is it?
SCA.
I mean, what are the S's and the C's and the A's for?
Svenska Cellulosa Aktiebolaget.
I'm sorry I asked. Everybody's a wise guy. What does that mean, then?
Formerly, it means Swedish Cellulose Company.
Swedish? I have some Swedish cellulose right here. And there is a cream for it I use, but if I don't look at it, it goes away.
We make a lot of products, like in the restrooms here, the towels, and they're our product.
They're Swedish Swedish towel?
Yes. Made here in the U.S., in Wisconsin.
But it's a Swedish company?
That's our parent, yes.
Oh, how interesting. Do you go over there do and see what they're doing there, too, sometimes?
To Europe, to some of the other factories, yes.
Oh, cool. Yep. Yeah, that's really kind of amazing. Okay. And it's your anniversary?
Yes, today.
Okay. Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
I think it's you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. He was.
And you are, this is Jeff, and you are?
Melody.
So are you expecting something pretty special, 34 years?
Of course.
Getting it?
No.
Mr. Controller here can't let go of a dime. It's all got to be accounted for, right?
To Italy last year.
Ooh, you did.
Yes, that was very nice.
That was last year, though.
True.
This is 34 True. Years now. This is getting serious.
I'm saving up for 35.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well. And take her someplace nice, all right? Something?
Yep.
Okay, where?
So where would you recommend?
I don't know. I'd say eat at home, you know.
Down here to celebrate the day, to see you, to see the Badger women's hockey game this afternoon, and then a nice dinner.
Oh, you're going to the hockey game, too?
Yes.
That's good enough.
That's good, yes.
You can pick up something at the hockey game.
Hot dog and a beer will be all set.
Hot dog and a beer. 34 years. What do you expect? Now, 35 is a little different. Thank
That's
you very right. much.
Thank
Happy
you.
Anniversary.
Thank
we
you.
Have something for you. For your anniversary, though, we'll make up you. Here.
Oh, well, there's this great book called Find Your Perfect Soulmate or Business Partner.
No. Give them the wine.
Oh, okay.
Quit fooling around.
How about Scrumptious Wisconsin Wines from Wollersheim Winery?
Yeah. Take it to the game with you. Put it in a bag. They won't know. Put it in your sleeve. You can put an entire bottle up your sleeve. Did you ever try that going into a sporting event? Just don't bend your arm, you know, and you'll see this like this. Just tell them, put a cast around it. You were kind of laughing there. I heard something escaping from you. That was a laugh, wasn't it? Yeah. Did you ever try that? Put a bottle, tear a bottle up your sleeve? Beer bottles. Yeah. How, like a 24 ounce or?
No, just a regular 12 ounce. Yeah.
Where were you doing this?
Oh, at football games.
Can you still do that? Because they detect everything.
Oh no, I don't do it anymore. Yeah. That's younger days.
Okay. All right. Okay. See what you learn about people, except from you, who won't tell me anything.
you can invite them to Feldman's Chicken for their
You're not invited though unless you tell me what you do. Because it's probably a pretty good thing to know, right? Business. Edgewood. Huh? Yes, it is a good school. I live near Edgewood. And they park in front of my house all the time. Very nice individuals. How are we doing time-wise?
We're doing okay.
Yeah, okay. Diana Carls of Dane wants to know the longest miles you've ever run at one time. Let me think on this. First of all, aren't all miles pretty much the same length? Am I wrong about this? Where's the controller when you need him? So it's an absurd question.
There's a Belichick mile. That's different.
Belichick mile, yeah. That's when you don't really see it. As you're, Diana Carls, where's Diana? She must run. Do you run? I get the feeling you run. You run somewhat? Are some miles longer than others or just seem that way?
1 mile
can seem like 100. Yeah. Why don't you come down here and I'll meet you as I step on these gentlemen's feet. How are you?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. How are you?
Great.
Yeah. But you're like a runner.
Yes.
Yes. So, but what do you mean the longest miles?
At one time, how many miles have you run without stopping?
Oh, more than 1 mile, you mean?
You tell me.
I've never run even one. I don't know what the longest one would be. They all. If I ran one, I'm sure it would seem pretty long.
No, we know you run.
No, I don't.
You're a sprinter.
Sure.
I don't. Do I look like a runner to you?
Like
honestly,
a sprinter.
Come on. Look like a runner.
We
you
heard
look
a dog
like
a was chasing you once, and
yeah. Well, anyone would run under those conditions. I don't know where you heard that or what you think you know. When I was a kid, a dog chased me, actually, but I not since then have I run from a dog.
Well, we have a little wager going on.
Yeah. What?
My three friends here, we went on the bike path and we made a little wager on what's the longest amount of miles that Michael has run in one time.
One time? I'd say it was probably zero, close to zero.
Zero?
Yeah. Who wins? You win. Congratulations. I'm glad I could help you. Nice to meet you. No, I don't run because I don't, why should I be physically fit at this point? If you weren't all along the way, you know, suddenly I'm going to, you know, at least I see a lot of older guys, which is what I am now, let's face it, out there running and, you know, they don't look happy and they're, you know, and they're all flush and you can see veins popping and, you know, some of them are throbbing and they're, you know, come on. What is the point? Do you run, Lacey?
Yes.
I've seen you on the field. You look different in a helmet.
Took off the dreads.
Took off the dreads. This is what the real hair looks like. Eddie Lacey, number 27 here, is with us. But do you run or anything like that?
I do. Yeah.
What's the longest mile you ever ran?
13. Oh, the longest mile. The same mile, but 13 times.
Is that good? Yes? Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
All right. Oh, all right. Eddie Lacey in our audience. It was kind of amazing. Without the dreads, entirely different person. We're going to play another. Are we?
Sure, let's do it.
Okay, we're going to do that. You saw what happened the first time. It could happen again. But you could win some fabulous prizes simply for playing the What Do You Know quiz. And, well, you've had enough of our airtime, haven't you? Let's get someone. Are you saying you want to play this quiz? You feel confident?
Sure.
You have a je ne sais quoi. Yes, you have an audience to help. Come down here. I'll meet you down there. What, you can't believe it?
No, I can't.
So it's not. It wasn't on your bucket list?
No.
Are you okay? I can hold your hand the whole time if you want.
But I've loved coming to the show and been here a few times, but I've never thought about doing this. So
never wanted to be a part of it, actually.
Well, sure, yeah.
You don't have any stage fright, do you? Because I can.
I'll do okay.
We have some wine, and we can probably break one out. We've had all this wine. I never get any of it. That'd be great.
That sounds good.
Your name is?
Kathy Hoffman.
Kathy Hoffman, where are you from?
Appleton.
Appleton. I haven't been to Appleton in a while. I love Appleton. And Kathy, you got to give me one good reason why you want to do the quiz.
My husband brought me here for my birthday weekend.
birthday weekend. That's not quite as sad as Christmas. But hey, come on, do it, Kathy. Walk this way. Birthday weekend. Some people are celebrating Christmas. Wonderful. This is a fabulous birthday weekend, huh?
Yes, it is.
Is it the kickoff or is it the denouement?
We came up last night, or oh, down, did? I guess we're coming down, and stayed at the Hilton.
You're still coming down now?
And had dinner last night, and then today, and then we're heading back.
Yeah. Kathy with a K?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you came down from Appleton last night, so mm-hmm. What, nice hotel or something?
Yeah, we stayed at the Monona Terrace Hilton.
Very nice. It's a Hilton. And it's convenient to hear.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
So the plan was to come to the show the whole time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And but what's the high point going to be?
This.
No, come on.
No, really. This is it.
No, I mean tonight. There's something like something.
Oh,
big.
We have to go back because my husband works tomorrow.
Oh, this is it then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
See.
Stay. How was the Hilton? Pretty nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Did you take your toiletries?
No.
I always take. I figure they
used them, but didn't
pay for them.
Take them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If you use them, you don't want to take them.
Yeah, right.
If there's something you didn't use, take it.
No, I don't do that.
Shower caps. I have a lot of shower caps from all that. I've yet to wear a shower cap. But anyone actually use the shower cap when they go to a hotel?
Sure,
do you?
There you go.
Yeah. What do you use it for? For showering. For showering. Use a shower cap? Isn't that interesting? Huh? Any guys here actually use the shower cap ever?
You put ice in it and put your beer in there.
There you go.
Okay, that's using your shower cap. That's using the old shower cap. Okay, and Kathy, what are you doing these days?
I work for Outagamie County.
What do you
I'm
do for
I'm a representative
them?
To payee. So what it does is I take care of the money for clients that are not able to do that.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah. So you have like their power of attorney sort of thing.
Not really, no.
So you could have control of people's funds.
Yes, I do.
We got quite a crowd here today. First of all, the guy who's teaching
like
at Edgewood, you know, who's doing something that's very undercover, but obviously pays very well. And then we got a controller, and now we got you. You do the payment.
And I control, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're controlling, too. That's mm-hmm. so cool.
It is. It's great.
That's great. All right. Okay, you know how the quiz works? Someone out there
sure
plays
do.
Along with
mm-hmm.
you, and we
mm-hmm.
go through various perambulations here and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. Is that right?
That's right. Somebody at home who may want to play the quiz calls up, and you ask them a qualifying question.
I do.
And the number that they call is 1-800-942-5669.
Okay. Here's the question. Are giant squids really big? This is based on the question, on the notion that people have a false idea of how big giant squids are. So I guess if you could tell me how big a giant squid actually is, you know, if it's actually only 16 inches long, for example, that would be a shocking development. But there was a study somewhere that said that people think giant squids and things that are called big, you know, in general, like a big walleye, you know, turns out to be a foot long. But for our fisheries guy here, that's not big. No. Now, a giant squid, is it really only like 18 inches? Or how big actually is a giant squid, I guess would be the question. I don't know. Let's go to the phones right now. And Ken's on the line from Cleveland. Hey, Ken.
Hey.
Hey, Ken.
I'm here.
I'm here, too. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
What the heck, it's Saturday.
It's Saturday. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
I don't mean what are you going to do in the sense, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Today, it's Saturday. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I think I'm going to read a book.
Oh, what are you reading?
It's called How to See Yourself as You Really Are. It's written by the Dalai Lama.
Ooh, a little light reading, huh?
Yeah, he's a comical guy.
He is funny, actually. I've seen him in person.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. He's been to Madison numbers of times, actually. He's very entertaining, actually. He could do stand-up, but he sits down in the Lotus. He does sit-down comedy.
Yeah, I can't even sit like him.
No, I can't
even. He even sits funny.
Well, funny is... No. Ken, are giants, how big is a giant squid? I mean, are they really giant?
Well, it depends what you mean by giant.
That's what I'm saying. What do you mean by giant?
I don't know. They take up the whole TV screen when you see one on TV.
How big's your TV? So you're saying they're 32 inches? Diagonally.
I think my TV's 34, but...
Okay.
I would say like...
In feet, how many feet would you say would be a good giant squid?
Is there a range here?
Yeah. Big, real big, really, really big. You know, I'm saying it's in multiple tens of feet.
In tens of feet?
Multiple tens of feet.
I'd say 30 feet. If I was swimming and I saw something that big, I'd say that was big.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, though, Ken. That's not a giant squid, then. I don't know what it is. It could be flotsam and jetsam, for all I know, but it's not a giant squid. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry for the squid, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel kind of bad. I'm going to give it to you. Yes, 30 feet is a giant squid.
No, but...
Yeah, I don't care.
What's the truth?
I don't know. 40 feet? 60 feet?
Really?
Yeah. It's close enough, isn't it?
Sure.
Yes. Why not give Ken a break? He's got to read a darn book by the Dalai Lama, otherwise. What kind of a weekend is that? That's a sad weekend for Ken, reading a Dalai Lama. I mean, not that it's not great reading, but it's your weekend. I don't think so, Ken.
This will probably be the highlight of my day.
Yeah, okay.
It's mine, too.
Well, that's
too.
Quite an honor for all of us, too, you know, that this is probably the best thing you'll do besides reading a book by the Dalai Lama today. So, Ken, yeah, it was actually 40 feet is what they usually are. They get as big as 60 feet. But it goes to show you, 30 feet is pretty darn close to 40 feet. So, Ken, this is Kathy.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you?
Well, I already explained that. I don't want to repeat it.
Why don't you go out and do something different tonight, Ken? You know, read a book by the Dalai Lama on a Saturday night?
You don't want to hear what I did last night.
Oh, I do.
Oh, you do?
Don't you all? I really am curious. Yeah, what'd you do last night?
A gal called me up and we talked.
Oh, God. How does it work then? Do we have various categories?
Thank goodness we do. They are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends. Don't mention it again.
And today it's the Dalai Lama. You know, it's just kind of remorse, I guess, for the last one. Okay, Ken, let's pick first category. What would you like?
Things you should have learned in school if you were paying attention.
Okay, you got it. Is glass a solid?
No, it's a liquid. It's a hypercooled liquid.
Ooh. I'll go with that.
What do you do, Ken? We didn't actually get to what do you actually, are you smart or something?
Well, that's what happens when you stay home on a Saturday night and read a book.
You read about hypercooled liquids on Saturday night?
I'm glad you're on my team.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're absolutely right, Ken. Congratulations. Hypercooled liquid.
That's one right and zero wrong, and the categories left are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Kathy?
People.
People, okay. Did you know that about glass?
Yes.
Oh.
See, I did know something.
People are too smart for this show, obviously. All right, babies start making jokes at what age? 5 months, 7 months, or 9 months? Mm. Mostly it's just mockery at first.
I think that's five.
Yeah, I'll say five.
Okay. 5 months, you think they're doing humor?
Yeah, they laugh and giggle and smile.
But actually making a joke, like mocking their parents or imitating them. You know, that's what they're doing half the time.
What do you think?
Know? This face you see here?
Higher. Seven?
Well,
she's mocking your parents.
What was it? I don't remember.
Five? You don't remember?
How would anybody know?
Five, seven, and nine?
They start doing one-liners when they're about 17 months. They're verbal. And they call their dad mom, you know, just for a joke, and their mom dad or something. But that's pretty sophisticated.
I think that's where Rodney Dangerfield got his I Got No Respect stuff.
Yeah, I think so too. Anyway, 5 months, 7 months, or 9 months?
Nine? Nine. Okay, nine.
9 months. We changed our order here. Ken?
Everybody's thinking nine, Ken.
Everybody's thinking nine?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go with it.
Okay. Who am I to argue?
Nine.
Yay!
Yeah. 9 months, yeah. They're good at it by 9 months.
That's two right. And the categories left are current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
Okay, is it back to Ken then?
It's back to Ken then.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends could be anything. Let's see. Powerful people
Do they A, feel very vulnerable a lot of the time, B, never feel powerful enough, or C, eat with their mouths open?
All of the above.
All of the above is not a possibility, but it could be. Yes, Ken?
If they felt powerful all the time, yeah, then why would they
eat with their mouths open?
Well, I would think that they sometimes need to feel more power, so that would, you know, make them
eat with their mouths open.
I think eat with their mouths open is a good one.
Because they're powerful, they can do whatever they want.
Whatever
sort of
they
thing,
want,
the
yeah.
Food trail yep, down mm-hmm. their sumptuous silken garments.
Okay.
Pass their gold chains on their sumptuous silken garments.
Very good.
You're saying they eat with their mouths full open?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. They eat with their mouths open because they're powerful. That's how you can tell.
Kathy, follow the saga of Feldman fame and fortune in Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman, including a CD of My Life, the musical, performed by John Seeger from Terrace Books. Ken, you want a convenient tin of instant underpants containing a pellet which expands when soaked in water, because sometimes they say it's better to have wet undies than no undies at all, from Archie McPhee. And both of you can celebrate the past 30 years with a half dozen Greetings from Planet Feldman postcards, a dozen Michael Feldman Has a Posse stickers, and a baker's dozen of What Do You Know temporary tattoos. Congratulations to you both.
Oh, boy.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Thanks for the play. Ken, I know you got a lot to do, but hang on for a second. We'll make sure you get that stuff. Thanks for playing. Nice job.
If you wish you could laugh with Michael every day, you can follow the What Do You Know fun throughout the week on our Facebook page, notmuch.com, or on the Twitters, follow Michael at MyFeldman. And join us next week for a special performance right here at the Monona Terrace by Wisconsin superstars Fox. More information is available online at notmuch.com.
They got me new headphones, and they're like, it's like wearing a vice. Thanks for coming, y'all. Thanks for listening. Talk to you again next week. Let's hear it for the boys in the band. Don and Jeff. And Sarah on my left.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Megan Hannes, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Our technical director is Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
BRI, Public Radio.